Off the ball on News Talk. Thanks to Air. Catch all the sports you love free on the Air Sport Pack with Air Broadband.
You're welcome back. So we'd Lee Chin in studio yesterday for a chat. He is an ambassador for Centra's hashtag We Are Hurling campaign, which celebrates the passion displayed by Ireland's hurling community. And for more information, you can check out www.centra.ie. So needless to say, the only place to start with Lee when he came in yesterday was on Wexford's amazing win over Kilkenny at Wexford Park 2 weeks ago. And just to jog your memory, here's South East Radio commentary team of Liam Spratt and Tom Dempsey.
It's not here, it's in the net! It's in the net! It's in the net! The ball is in the net! It's a goal for Wexford! It's in the net! 1-13-1!
Matthew Holland trying to buy himself a bit of space! A point for Matthew Holland! He suddenly appeared up there out of nowhere to tap it over the bar.
Liam, did you ever see a man go as high into the air for a ball as Lee Chin that time? What a wonderful bit of feeling. He's been absolutely outstanding in the second half.
There's not many moments we've had like that together as a team, and I suppose look at the atmosphere that was there last weekend was incredible, and sure, I suppose we were involved in it. But I think it was one of the games that I have played in my time so far that after the final whistle went, all I wanted to do was get to my teammates.
Right.
And even we spoke afterwards about, we were, I suppose, surprised in a sense that how quickly we all got back into the dressing room.
Right.
Together, just to be in each other's company. Usually you'd be outside taking photographs and signing autographs, but I don't think with the way the crowd emerged onto the field the other day, there was much room to be getting photographs or standing back for pictures or anything like that. So we just beeline straight for the dressing room afterwards.
And why do you think that was? It's interesting you had that sense of, I want to go and see the guys, and they obviously did too.
Well, I think it was just a huge moment for us as a team. The fact that we had achieved something, I suppose, that a lot of the country probably thought wasn't possible for us.
Yeah.
Obviously, when you go back to 2015, when Kilkenny gave us that beating in Nolan Park.
They went 5:25 on you that day.
Yeah, it really looked like there were miles of a gap between both teams. And it was just great to get over the line against them. I suppose with people obviously asking the question, can they do it twice in 1 year?
Yeah.
You know, that was a big thing. So, but we were totally focused on ourselves, and it was a big moment for a lot of us in our career so far.
What was the dressing room like?
It was great. It was very positive, obviously. Very energetic.
Right. It wasn't quiet and everyone just sitting there wrecked. It was,
no.
You were up.
The adrenaline was still rushing, obviously, as well. Being out in the field among the crowd that was there too. You know, you can't help but get back to the dressing room with a smile on your face and see the guys. And you're just there throwing your arms around each other and congratulating each other and, you know, just looking forward to the next day.
What are the songs that the Wexford team sing in that moment? You can't quite sing Championes at that stage.
Yeah, no, I don't think there was any songs. Right. I don't think there was any songs sung in the dressing room last weekend, but there had been a few songs in the past, I suppose, recent years that we had going for a while, yeah.
Right. Care to name any of the big ones?
I think there was 1 year there we learned off The Gambler.
Good, yeah.
Yeah, we just kind of, I think it was after 2014. After we beat Clare, there was a message, I think, in the song for us there that we all took in, and we were told to go and learn the song, and we kind of had a bit of a sing-song afterwards after in the dressing room.
Right. I'd say that's just the business. That's heaven.
Means something. Yeah. It's special.
Yeah. And was Davey allowed in the dressing room, or where was he in the midst of all that after the game?
I think Davey was still in his box up around there somewhere. Davey, obviously, I don't think he was still allowed around us at that time.
Right.
We didn't see him. Only afterwards we obviously got messages and stuff like that to say, well done, so proud of you and stuff like that. But other than that, it was pretty much ourselves again in the dressing room, just in our own company and just enjoying the moment.
Yeah. From a personal point of view, you put in just such a brilliant performance. At some point during the game, midway through that second half, you must think to yourself, ball's coming my way here, I'm in a state of flow. You didn't look like a guy who was fighting injury or fighting tiredness. You looked like you were in that sweet state, that sweet spot where you're not thinking about stuff, it's just happening. I mean, what is your memory of that game when you're playing so well?
Yeah, I think you just hit the nail on the head there. I think in the second half, I felt I got a new lease of life. I just let my instincts take over. I think I let my mind drift into its subconscious and just played the game without any sort of thought. Just let things happen the way it happened. And you know, I went into the dressing room, to be honest, I went into the dressing room half time disappointed with myself. I wasn't really having much of an impact in the game, I thought. I think we went in up at half time. That's how focused I suppose I was. I can't remember if we went in up at half time, but I think we were up at half time, and I remember sitting there saying to myself, I need to get into the game and to get involved more. We're going out here now in the second half and there's a big wind we're facing into, and I'm going to have a bigger impact. And I think that's nearly what I was kind of saying to myself at half time in the dressing room. And then when I went out, I suppose, look, sometimes it's hard to control your own performance, you know. You want to get into the game and the one thing you're doing is nearly going further out of the game sometimes. But
yeah,
I think I just let my instincts completely take over. I just went out with an attitude of, you know what, don't worry, don't panic, it's all good. And things just happened.
Things did. Like, ball just kept coming your way. You found yourself in the right positions. If there was a way of analysing that and knowing exactly how you made all that happen for yourself, and you could bottle it and sell it, every sports person in the world would want to know. Because you go out the next day and that ball just bounced 3 metres that way, and that's happened for 15 minutes now and I'm not in this game, and I don't know what kind of magic there is to fix that moment.
Yeah, but that's the thing. I've tried to identify with myself before, and what is it that gives me performance? Even when I go back to my club, you know, when you have a good day with your club, you ask yourself, what was it about that just had me feeling that way? And you know, you try to remember, what did I eat yesterday?
Yeah.
What did I eat the day before? And you start comparing your physical condition, you know, and you start thinking about, is that what it was? But it's pretty much the state of mind. Your body's always going to be in the condition that you put it in, and it's not, in the space of a couple of days, it's not going to get any different. But I think it's just the state of mind that you go into games with.
And how is the state of mind different when you're having a 70 minutes which isn't working out for you?
I'm not really sure. Sometimes it could be just the look of the draw. Sometimes the ball just might hop the right way for you. It might just fall into your hand. Do you know, things like that. But sometimes then you just find yourself like you're reading the game a step ahead of what's actually happening. And I think last week in that game, in some way, I kind of felt like that in the second half. I just felt like I started reading the game a little bit better. Players were going on in my head, I suppose, before they were even happening, when the ball was in the air. You know, you were trying to, I suppose, be creative in some sense as well, of making runs and support plays and stuff like that. But I just found, like, you know, if I go into games with too much of a thought process of, I have to do this, that and the other thing.
Anxiety, tightening.
Yeah.
Up. Yeah.
Things doesn't seem to fall into place as much.
Yeah. If the dressing room afterwards is kind of heaven, so is that state on a pitch where it's all just flowing and you're ahead of the play and there's thousands of people and there's people watching the TV and it's just like, God, I mean, that's a drug. The other thing which struck me about the performance was, in the midst of Kilkenny goals happening at bad times, and, you know, even there was one of the Kilkenny goals, you obviously weren't just lumping the ball forward. There was method. There were clear tactics, and there was a plan of how you were going to do that. I think one of those moves broke down. They scored a goal. What was really striking from the Reid penalty early on, right through the whole game, was you didn't seem to panic as a team, and you didn't seem to abandon the plan. And that is so difficult to do. I mean, so many teams, when goals happen or things go against them, halfback takes it, well, look, I know I meant to give it the chin there, but actually, this is, you know, go long. It's a long time since I've seen a team stay that programmed. Really impressive. I don't know how you do that.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure teams talk about it all the time, lads, don't panic, stick to the plan. But then that's not what often happens when you go out there.
Well, it's definitely the one ingredient that a lot of teams out there want and need. You know, there's going to be times in games where a lot of teams get a purple patch. And it's how you ride that purple patch and how you come out the other end of it. I suppose in the game against Kilkenny, when they got those goals, I just think it's the way we are at the moment as a team, and how focused we are on winning, how focused we are on each other and just our performance. That no matter what happens in the game, we just stick to our plan. We're so drilled in that area and down that road that we just, no matter what happens, no matter what blow or what card we're dealt, we just continue on our process, our thing. And look, if it's not good enough on a day, it's not good enough.
There's certain comfort in that. But it only takes two or three lads to lose the head, and you can be in the place you're meant to be all you want. Yep. No good to everyone. So that's what was so impressive, that clearly 15 lads at this moment, home crowd, went, we're sticking to the plan. you're not all sitting there doing kind of mindfulness program training, I presume. You talk about it, you believe in what Davey's telling you.
It comes down to a lot of confidence as well, and belief in each other and in yourself and your own abilities. Like, I've seen guys, when I watch back the game afterwards, I've seen us coming out of the backs with our ball on umpteen occasions, and I've seen our guys solo with the ball and, you know, do something with it that I've never seen them do before. You know, the composure, I suppose. Like, when I watch back on the game, I was almost looking at it, and there's certain moments in the game you can't remember what happened or what was done.
Yeah.
And you see guys coming out the wing with the ball, and before, like, instinctively, I was nearly almost expecting them to just lump the ball off the field. And he keeps, and looking at the game and looking at the telly, and it keeps going with it, and he just hand passes it off. And, you know, that for me was a big thing after the game. I thought, geez, that was just brilliant.
Yeah, that's like, class.
The way we
kept
our composure there was very cool. Cool head, you know.
Because people, I mean, I don't know all the Wexford players as well as you do. Like, you're used to each other's movements. Mm-hmm. I can see some of the stuff you were doing was extraordinary. I don't know that the right half back that I haven't seen enough of is playing out of his skin the way you do. You know, I don't know that it's unusual for him to have that composure.
Yeah.
But I knew he had it that day.
Yeah.
Amazing. I can see a lot of ingredients for this being so satisfying. Mm-hmm. First Leinster final since 2008. Am I right in saying it's your first hurling championship match in Croke Park?
Yep.
Bizarre.
Yep.
Bloody hell.
I have hurled there before. I've hurled there with Leinster, and I hurled a small bit of underage. I played football there before, but I actually haven't lined up for Wexford in championship yet. So it's an exciting day to come.
Yeah. Thoughts on Galway?
Yeah, look at... obviously, I wasn't at the game yesterday, but to beat a team in a championship game by 19 points, you know, you're proven to be a serious outfit. And obviously, Galway have been proving that over the last number of weeks and months now, winning the National League in the manner that they did against Tipperary All-Ireland champions.
They strike me this year in particular as a team who are entirely sick of not winning. They're focused. A bit like you lads, they're really fit. You know, they've had that 2, 3, 4 years of physical conditioning. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a proper battle physically as well as everything else.
Yeah, well, like a lot of teams in any championship, you know, can get a lot of their confidence throughout the beginning of the year. Now, we're the only team so far that has beaten Galway this year.
Yes, right, yeah.
When you look at Galway's league, when we beat them, I suppose Galway people probably would have thought another one of these years for us.
Yeah.
But Galway picked it up after that and went on to win the National League.
Yeah.
And have continued that form now into the championship, I believe.
Mm.
It's going to be a massive test for us in the Leinster final, but it's one we're really looking forward to.
Yeah, it's going to be an amazing day. And like literally last man out of Wexford, turn off the lights. Like, 400,000 people there.
Lock the bridge.
We spoke to you last in studio as you were heading out to Vancouver. And I just saw a very interesting point you made on your return. And you were saying it's not that they're professional, that they're so good. They're that good because they're professional. They're given the tools to be at the height of their game.
Mm-hmm.
And it struck me as quite a poignant comment, really, in a lot of ways. I mean, you're flying home and you're thinking, you can't reach your sporting potential the way a pro can. Mm-hmm. And I really got the sense that's probably been on your mind a little bit since that trip in particular.
Yeah, well, I think when I first came home, it was definitely something that was on my mind constantly about how can I get more, how can I be better.
Right.
Like these guys in their professional environments, they're just given those opportunities. They work on the things they need to work on. They get, that's their lifestyle, that's their living, you know.
And what kind of things? I mean, I'm sure it's little things.
Oh, of course, it's definitely the small things. Obviously, you know, you see our guys get up and during in whatever time in the morning to go to work, and their day is pretty much controlled by somebody else and their profession.
Mm-hmm.
When their life, they control their own profession. They control everything that is involved in their life, their diet, their sleep, their everything, basically. Yeah. These guys get paid through this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and it's the small details of things of, even if you're a hockey player and you're a defenseman or you're a forward in hockey, like, they can go out and just perfect the skills that they need to perfect. They have all the time in the world and they make a living from that.
Yeah.
And I found it so fascinating and so enjoyable to be surrounded in that environment for a while. But it did get me thinking, I suppose, about me at home, and everybody wants to reach their full potential.
Mm.
But it's very hard to do that when we live the lifestyles that we do.
You can't really. You have to almost accept that and yet still strive you don't want to make yourself basically depressed thinking about it all the time, but you still have to, you have to accept it and still try. Because I remember Ty Kennelly, when he came home, did an interview with that year when he won the All-Ireland with Kerry, I guess 09 it might have been. He was saying, the one thing I really miss is, you know, my yoga every day, you know. And I just, he was like, just on the time. I just can't give an hour every day to yoga on top of everything else. So that's had to go.
Yeah.
One of those things.
It's just one of those things, yeah. But it's something that I even seen how positive and how happy the lifestyles they live over there, being involved in their sport. Now, obviously, the lifestyles we live here, we're like, I'm proud to be from Wexford and I'm proud to be representing my county. Yeah. I love it. I wouldn't give it up for the world. And I think I'd speak for any man, any of the lads that are on the Wexford panel. But it's just, I suppose, the heights that the professionals get to.
It's the potential.
Exactly.
The one thing that you guys get, the one thing that you get is the moment on the pitch after Kilkenny game with your own people. Like that's the, you know, if there's probably a few other pros, but that's definitely the one. Like on that field are lads that you all went to school with, you've known your whole lives. Yeah. You can't get that in the pro ranks generally.
Yeah. Well, it's just the way Irish people are in terms of the world. GAA in Ireland is just so huge. And what it can actually bring to a county is just something, you know, it's extraordinary. The fact that we beat Kilkenny last weekend and what it's actually done for the people in Wexford that may be sick or they might have other health issues or other problems going on in their life, that moment for them, just, you know, there's nothing medicine can do for that.
And listen, like, community spirit is in, you know, shorter supply as we go through time, it seems. So, I mean, on July 2nd, that's such a focus for everyone. And that's really important. It's what you talk about on Saturday and on the Monday when you're in the shops, as opposed to, I'll buy my milk, I'm not going to talk to you, on I go.
Yeah.
That's, all that stuff is floating around.
Yeah.
When you were in before, you talked about the amount of practice you were doing, the local field. It's where you developed, you know, confidence in your own game as much as anything, hours upon hour. I was thinking about the interview afterwards and, you know, it kind of struck me, he really is at a place in his life where it seems like he's almost full-time hurler. Like, it's the number one thing. You're not focused on your career to the same extent or anything else at the moment. Does that worry you? Do you think, well, I can only do this for so long, you know? Like, I can't retire at 34 and suddenly pick up life then?
Oh, of course. There's been a lot of, I suppose, periods in my life where I would get thinking about a lot of that kind of stuff and thinking, maybe, geez, what is next? What is next for Lee? Like, but I just can't help but just want to hurl. I just want to. It's all I think about. Now, in saying that, I'm kind of a laid back character,
right?
To a certain extent, but and in terms of that, I'm very laid back. I just believe that, you know what, I'll sort something out. I'll be fine.
Right.
I'll be fine. That's my motto at the minute.
Daily now, is that your main focus? You get up and it's working on your game, working on your fitness. Yeah. That's it.
That's me. I prioritise that. Yeah.
Right. And does anyone say to you, can we not? You know, what about study? Or I know you did it. You're involved in hairdressing at one point, or go back to college, or just start work. Is anyone kind of putting that pressure on you?
Not as such. I was kind of like, my mother would be very supportive in anything that I wanted to do, and I think she always was very comfortable with knowing that no matter what I've done, even up to this point, he'd be okay.
Right.
Do you know? And I don't mean that as in she left me out on my own or anything to survive. Yeah, she gave me the odd dinner here and there. But no, that was like, she just, you know, she's very supportive, and in terms of my happiness, that's what she's all for. And the fact that she sees me happy to be out trying to fulfill what I want to do in my life, that gives her a sense of enjoyment. So with that, like, you know, obviously I'm happy to just do what I'm doing at the moment, and whatever may happen later in life will happen.
Yeah. And are days slow, or like, are they packed full as you're going about what you're trying to do?
In fairness, some days can be slow. Some days, you know, you'd find yourself maybe thinking, right, it's time to maybe get going and doing something else. And like, I do a lot of socializing with friends and stuff as well. My evenings would usually be packed with a lot of different things. It's during the day, I suppose, are the things that you try to fill up. And look, a lot of that would be through out playing hurling or going to the gym or getting recovery stuff done and stuff like that. But Yeah, look, at the moment I'm just kind of living that lifestyle and I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, see, I'm a worrier. Like, I was like, literally, if I, you know, your attitude is it'll be fine.
Yeah.
My attitude generally is I'm doomed. What do I do to,
yeah,
no matter what's going on, you know, it's like constant worry, which is, yeah, not necessarily right either. And are many GA lads in that boat, do you think? You can't speak for a couple of thousand people, but do you think there's a lot of that going on?
I can't really speak for a couple of thousand people, but from just people that I'm involved with in Wexford, yeah, in the Wexford panel, but that are in college, you know, a lot of them guys have a lot of free time in their hands too, and I suppose they're getting something done with their life in terms of getting an education and going for their degrees and their masters, and that's all very good. But if I was to do something like that and I used to get involved in something like that, I just wouldn't be happy.
Right.
I don't think I'd be happy in that lifestyle of living away from home and forcing myself to get my head into a book when it's just not in my in my gene, I suppose, or in my personality, I suppose. And you know, I see the other guys that do it and they enjoy it to do it, but then again it gets them down an awful lot of time too, and they'd be stressed out 50% of the time in terms of studying. Everyone is, but yeah, they just seem to be able to manage it a little bit better than myself. But I'm just doing my thing at home at the moment, yeah, and seeing where that gets me.
Yeah. What age are you now?
24.
All right, jeez. Yeah, look, don't listen to me. It just struck me the last interview, because I wasn't quite clear, you know, were you doing stuff on the side or were you thinking about going back? And I just thought I'd ask you about it again, but like, yeah, 24, I think, it's probably, there's no major rush just yet. listen, it's always a pleasure talking to you. The best to look for the rest of the season. Hope it goes well. We might talk to you at some stage again.
Thanks, Joe.
Off the Ball on News Talk. Thanks to Air. Catch all the sports you love free on the Air Sport Pack with Air Broadband.